Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you liked your prior shows, they are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about respect and reputation. And we want to have lots of respect and a fabulous reputation. So let's talk about how to get both things, right? Right. Let's do respect first. Because if we have a lot of respect, then our reputation will also be very good. Then our reputation will be enhanced, right? Right. Yes, a lot of you are already answering the question that you know I'm going to ask. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Yes. And I am going to ask a basic question because, of course, this show is not scripted. We go wherever we want to take it. Yes. So, how do we gain respect for our leadership skills, right? How do we gain that respect? Well, yes, a lot of you are talking about the fact that you have a track record of success. We've done this before, and we were good at it. And we had a successful outcome, and it worked out. And now we're back with maybe different issues of the same caliber. We've had success with this before, right? Or maybe success with this group or with working with people, right? Word gets around. That's our reputation, isn't it? Yes. So track record of success is a good way. I'm going to go for these two also. People are talking about you get respect if you can actually bring things in on time and under budget, right? Now, those are business ideas, but, yeah, they're really a good idea. On time, or maybe in less time, and under budget, or needing the budget, right? Right. How do we gain respect for our leadership skills? How about getting workable conclusions, right? Something that we can live with, something that's really doable in the real world, something that's not just a theory. You ever see that groups kind of get a theory? And that's nice. But what about real life? What about really doing this, right? We gain a good reputation and have respect for, and people have respect for us, when we can take diverse preconceived notions, right? People come very diverse backgrounds and make them into a team, make them into a group that, well, that we'd like to work with. Diverse preconceived notions. How about diverse reasons for the same result, but they're kind of at odds with each other, just in general, but they want the same thing, right? Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of a philosophical reason that they're not usually in the same room together. We're going to work on that. And that'll lead us to civility rules, which need to be all around, everywhere, every time, right? Right. So that's the topics we're going to talk about, the areas we're going to talk about for respect. Let's think about reputation, and then we'll go and do them, right? Yeah, because we have a reputation for getting things done on this show, don't we? And for finding out practical ways to meet our challenges. Oops, that's true too. Padmea says that we also have a reputation for not getting to the recipes. That's kind of true, too. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It means that we've had a lot of lovely discussion, But it does mean that I haven't handled time properly, doesn't it? That we had so much discussion that we didn't quite get to the recipes. It is true, these recipes have been hanging on for weeks. We haven't gotten to them yet. We're going to try, but I make no guarantees. That's the truth. I'm like, oh, gee, I don't know. So how are we going to enhance our reputation? Thank you. A lot of folks are talking about, essentially speaking, honesty. We enhance our reputation by always dealing honestly and fairly, right? Yes. I have personally shaken hands on million-dollar contracts that were later memorialized, but I gave my word. And if I give my word and circumstances change and it's not as beneficial to me, I'm giving you my word, even though it may not be legally binding in a court of law. And everyone knows that, and they respect and admire my reputation in the community, right? My reputation for honesty and for fair dealing. I'm going to call this empathy. A reputation for having empathy for the people in the room, the participants, and for outsiders, right? And remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. You might agree, but not necessarily. But you do need to understand. Empathy for others and empathy for the participants. Yes, we're talking about some outside empathy, right? How else to enhance your reputation? How about doing some work in the community, right? Get hired, which would be lovely. But you could also start out by volunteering, right? By teaching. Teaching as a volunteer, I was thinking more of teaching like in workshops and things like that, so that you're known as an expert in the community. And people already know who to call, right? And then you get word of mouth because you're really good at it. And people say, well, who did you use for this? And they'll go like, well, I use, yeah, see, and you get word gets around that your reputation is fabulous. Well, yeah, I suppose that is a reputation for success. You have a reputation for getting things done. You have a reputation for, yeah, this is, we've got this. Let's go do it. And I don't know if this is honesty or not. I don't think it is. A reputation for fairness, right? That you'll have reasonable compromise and everybody will win and be able to take it back to the invisible participants and say, look, I won this. Yeah, I'm a genius, aren't I? Even though there's lots of compromise. Because that's what consensus building really is. Consensus is compromise. You're going to have to give a little bit and not win the entire situation. Yes. Okay, let's start so that we don't run out of time. We're going to start about respect for leadership and a record of success, right? You've done it before. People respect that. You know how to handle people. People respect that. And you'll get lots more people wanting you to help them. I was going to say hiring you, but it depends on your situation. But they'll want you to help. They want you to come and be of assistance, right? Right. Sometimes it's a record of success, yes. This is a good point that Hussein is making. When you're going to go for reputation and you're going to go for respect, right? If you choose your cases carefully, like Hussein says, you'll get a better success record. Even when you're new, even when you're inexperienced, try to choose cases that you can win and have success with. It's not so much winning, but it's making everybody come to consensus. Especially when you're new, do something within your area of expertise, maybe, or within the area of expertise of witness of experts. I could call them expert witnesses, but they're not really; they're just experts. That are within your ability to connect with, right? Yeah. That's one of the mistakes that people make. They take anything on when they're new in the field, even when they're not so new. They take on anything. That's not a good way to enhance your respect or your reputation, because you can't win anything, right? You have to choose somewhat carefully. You have to define what success looks like, right? What is it? You define that with your participants. But before you even see your participants, you need to define it with your, what I'm going to call your employer. This is the person that brought you in, the organization that brought you in. This is not necessarily legally your employer. I'm just calling them that for clarity, right? Right. Yeah. You don't have to actually have an employer, but this is just in clarity for who brought you in. Whoever brought you in, before you touch it, before you agree, you need to get straight what kind of power you have. You do. You need to get that straightened out. You need to know if you can affect someone's business, usually, and how much, and will the employer back you, right? Right. I like to get this down in writing. I like to get down in writing what will happen if I've got some really obnoxious people in the group, right? And they don't want to follow the civility rules. For those of you who are newish to this group, the civility rules are really the only rules that Recipe for Peace now has. They say at their core, the civility rules say you will treat each other fairly and like you wish to be treated, right? Mm-hmm. You will treat each other fairly and courteously, right? Courteously. This does not necessarily come naturally to everyone in a group. Sometimes there's a bully, for example. You need to announce the civility rules, and you need to enforce them immediately, consistently, and fairly. Immediately, consistently, and fairly. If you wait to enforce the civility rules until things have gotten uncivil, you've let it get out of hand. Now, you can get it back, but maybe not. Why take the chance? Immediately, I announce them, and then I enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly. Right? Right. Don't let things get out of hand on you. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to enforce the civility rules, but what if someone won't abide by them? There's always one in every, one, not every group, but I've seen it. Even though I have a great deal of experience and a great deal of people, have, my reputation is respected, right? Sometimes that happens, though. Sometimes you've got someone who wishes to derail the process for one reason or another. You want to get very straight with your employer. Remember, I'm using the word loosely. What you can do about that? Can you throw them off? The supposed to just ignore because they're the boss's kid, right? What are you supposed to do? And what is the employer going to do to back you? I find the most effective thing to ask for is power over salary, power over position, power over, if you don't act appropriately and in a civil manner and help us go forward, it will impact your job, your employment, your future at the company, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And I do this even when it's a religious group and like that. People have something that they want you not to do. And if you become uncivil for any length of time, I will do it, whatever it is. Right? Yes, the carrot and stick. The carrot is that we will get along well with each other and we will get credit for really solving a problem cross-culturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. The next part that we were going to talk about is, because also we might divide into teams to help the civility rules. The next one up is that you reach consensus within time, which enhances your reputation, right? Wow, you're really a doer. You really got something complex handled within the time frame, right? You got a consensus within the time frame. That's nice. But how are we going to do this? A lot of people are talking about actual deadlines. Sometimes there is. If you have actual deadlines, Muhammad says to make a timeline. Yes and no. If you have actual deadlines, yes, you need a timeline because you don't want to blow something. You don't want to accidentally not file something, for example, and have it be up for grabs because you didn't do it. You've got to wait another year. It didn't get on the ballot. Didn't follow the rules. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Gene and others are saying that if you create deadlines that are kind of artificial and you keep moving the line, it becomes meaningless. Yes. What you as leader need to know is how definite is this deadline? Is it something that must be done? Or is it something that the employer set so that they could get you moving? And it's not really a deadline like that. Mm-hmm. If the employer sets the limit, find out why. Mm-hmm. And also, if you've got time limits, let's divide the process up step by step into chewable chunks, into something that we can really use, right? Yeah. And make teams also so they can work on each area and get in within time. Now the employer and the participants, really, because they want to get done and go forward with their lives, will try to enforce a timeline. Try to see if it's really set in stone or it's not. And that's a figure of speech, excuse me. But it means really, really certain that it is not any kind of a deadline that has to be met right now this minute. How about your reputation, your respect, that you can come in under budget? Mm-hmm. Yes, this is what you do exactly. Muhammad and others are saying figure big. Yes, yeah, someone's going to ask you, how much is this going to cost me? I always figure double of what I think it's going to cost, and I have a lot of experience, and I can pretty much gauge the expense of something. Figure big. When you come in under budget, they're going to think you're a genius. But if you need extra money, then you'll have it, and you won't have to beg for it and not make some of the steps because they cost money, right? Ask for stuff up front, and then give it back. Mm-hmm. Yes, there does need to be a process to modify and increase funds. Mm-hmm. And determination to be a part of that process. Because sometimes people don't understand the concept of under budget. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, you also need a process to increase funds, just in case, right? Yeah. And because you might run into unexpected expenses. Sometimes things just cost more than you think they do, or they take longer. Because we have the consensus within time, well, maybe the time is fairly extended, and we need more budget. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the budget is not so much in money, because you all think in money. It's in something else. It's in person power, people. It's in amount of places that can be affected. And like that, the budget does not have to necessarily be all funds, all money. It can be other things of value, people giving their time, for example. Mm-hmm. So you need a process to modify or increase the funds. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is, sometimes this is true. Thomas and others say that funding determines the extent of success. Funding determines the extent of success. Certainly being well-funded is a good thing, right? We can all agree on that. Being well-funded is, well, it's mighty fine. And you don't have to skimp. But sometimes you're in with a big group, or a big group has swallowed your client, right? They've kind of become one. And you must appeal to people to really come in within the parameters of the process, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Which leads up to workable and realistic results. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. People are asking what's realistic. Realistic is anything that works. We've got a whole bunch of diverse people. We're going to be talking about bias in a minute, right? And they need to solve the issues. They need to get something done without having a bunch of grandstanding. Now, that's kind of an Americanism, and this is a global show, but it means people who are just there to puff up their own self-ego and puff up their own self-ego in front of the media, especially, so that they get lots of accolades, right? Right. No. We want to have realistic results, not just a theory, not just something that looks good in the news, like you're doing something. We want to really be doing something, right? Yes. Yes, you should take credit for your resolutions. Yes. I wasn't implying that you shouldn't. That is not grandstanding. Grandstanding is when you are not at the end of the process, but when you suddenly say things to the media, for example, and not to the individuals. They learn about it through the media. Oh, no, we won't be doing that. Mm-mm. You want to be able to keep the mediation on track is the key. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, oftentimes, Esther and others are saying that oftentimes realistic results bring an expert opinion to prevent unintended consequences. Expert opinion that doesn't agree with us, maybe, so that we can go forward and say, well, we did look at that, and this is what I think, right? Yeah. And so you need to get going. You need to get some experts. You need to look around, right? Right. Mm-hmm. We've also got workable, realistic results when you're actually still working with each other. That's all right. We may need our leader to help resolve disputes, which will inevitably occur. But basically, on the day-to-day, we're okay with this. We both understand that we had consensus. We both gave some. We both got some. And that this is a good result, right? Right. Yeah, people are still talking about taking credit. Yes, you should. You should take credit for your successes so everybody knows about them, and it enhances your reputation in the community. But you shouldn't just do things to get media attention, unless it's for the good of the group. Yes, I was thinking personal media attention. Maybe media attention was good. A lot of folk are talking about media attention when you need power in numbers, and you're kind of playing it. You're kind of making sure that this is something that we can have, that we can do, right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. This is a good point, too. We want to have realistic results. We want to keep going. We want to not have to call the leader in each and every time we have a teeny-weeny disagreement about the path, right? So how should we handle that? Yes, a lot of you are talking about expert opinions. To bring in an impartial third-party expert to tell us what they think will be the outcome if we do it this way, and tell us what they think will be the outcome if we do it that way, which is why also a lot of countries, mine included, announce things to the public that are going to happen to allow people a grace period to come in and protest. They do too. They protest if it is big enough. It has to have enough people in it, enough voters in it, enough folk to find out what we're doing, to find out how we're going to get this done, and for that we could use an expert opinion. Third party impartial prevents unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about leading through diverse preconceptions, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. Yes, it's kind of like, we're going to try to get to the recipes this time. I know some of you really like them, and we talk, and we get all excited, and we're all interested, and then I go, oh my, there's like 63 seconds left. I don't think I can do a recipe. So we're going to try to do it. So we're going to have an expert opinion. Always good to have an impartial third party, but also an expert opinion about unintended consequences, about somebody we should have connected and we didn't because we didn't know, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be there so the consensus doesn't break up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's lead through diverse preconceptions. Yes, a lot of you are calling that bigotry and bias, kind of, yes. If you have a preconception that's kind of unfavorable about an entire type of people, an entire ethnicity, an entire group, an entire company, entire organization, then you've got a serious preconceived notion that we're going to have to lay aside so that we can work together, so that we can get done, so that this isn't a waste of time, right? So you've got a bunch of people with a bunch of preconceptions. They've never met each other before. Worse than that, they've never met anyone who is, fill in the blank, and that's the subject of their distrust. Because they've never met anybody like whatever it is, right? Yes. First of all, we have to know if this is a learned opinion. Somebody taught it to you, somebody that you greatly respect, or experience. Because if it's their personal experience, it's a little different than if they learned it young. If they learned it young, then it becomes kind of a framework. They think it's truth and not just opinion. Mm-hmm. Learning about bias through experience is nasty also, because it gives you a preconception based on a very small sample, right? And this sample, these people in this room at this time are going to have to be accommodated. We're going to have to work together, right? Yes. And this is something that I have no idea why it is a surprise to people, but I know that it is. The faster you get done, the faster we won't have to look at each other again, right? Yeah. I don't know why that's such a revelation. But it's like, I can't deal with these people. Well, you can for this time, in this place, for these issues, because you must. But if we get this done, you can go back to being a bigot. No, I don't say it actually like that. But that's the crux of it. You can go your merry way. But let's get this done, because we all need this outcome, right? Yes, and it's workable and realistic. Yes. As I say in the beginning, you don't necessarily have to be friends. Our goal, our job, is not to fix every deep-seated, preconceived, horrible bias in the world. Our job is to make these people get together in consensus so that we can go forward for something that will really help someone. Right? Yeah. So let's get consensus. Let's go forward. Let's understand that the faster we get done, the faster we're out. Right? Mm-hmm. And let's understand that it's for this issue at this time with these people. It's the funniest thing. After we get all done, sometimes similar issues crop up sometime later, oftentimes years later. But there's something similar happens. And the participants from before who had to get along with each other at this time, at this moment for these issues, but then went their separate ways, they call on each other because they understand that they can work together and that this particular person is an anomaly. Hey, we can live with that. This particular person at this particular time is an anomaly. They're not like the rest of their whatever it is that we are biased against. I can work with him or her. Hot diggity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get people who have diverse reasons but want the same thing. But they're having trouble seeing it. Ever see that? Yeah, they have diverse reasons for wanting the same result. They want the same conclusion. Mm-hmm. So we as leaders, yes, Annika and others are talking about the big picture. Yes, we as leaders need to understand that we've got a lot of diverse parties in the room, but they want the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We can handle it. First of all, they have to know that they want the same thing. That's half the battle. I know that I want this result, this goal. Yes, I want it because, well, different reason than everybody else in the room, but I still want it. Let's work together and get it. It doesn't make a difference how you start. It's how you finish, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. First of all, you need to define the common goal. People ask me how you do this. Let's define what we want. And surprisingly enough, we all want it. Now let's figure out what we're going to do about it and how we're going to work in order, in really get results, workable results. Mm-hmm. Yes, people asking about an example. The best example I know of is in the United States, for example, marijuana is illegal, right? You had a lot of different kinds of groups, never mind people, pushing for legality. Still not around. But they had to kind of give up on the federal government, and they went statewide. It was highly imaginative. In order to do this, in order to pool funding and expertise and actual gathering of signatures to get on a ballot, right? It's a big deal. Because they put it before the voters in some states who voted yes, of course, because we're no fools, right? Yeah. And the people in the room didn't like each other and didn't feel they had anything in common, but they all wanted legality. Well, that's something in common, right? You had growers. You had people who were activists for certain kinds of horrible discomfort that marijuana can alleviate, like glaucoma and HIV and like that. You had people that wanted, it was an economic interest, they wanted to sell it, they wanted a boutique, they wanted to rent property to the people selling it, all kinds of folk in the room. They had to all understand that their power base was not being usurped, but if we didn't work together and get this on the ballot and legalized, we're going to have nothing to talk about, right? Yeah. And so they were motivated to really have diverse reasons for wanting the same result. They got past the pettiness and went for the big picture, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the civility rules, which permeate all of this. We talked about them a little bit. Remember, immediately announce, and enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly. Mm-hmm. This is really also a bullying rule. No bullying at anyone else, right? Now, sometimes you can have peer pressure to prevent people from doing it. Sometimes they don't care. They think it's funny. And that's, remember we talked about our employer and having an actual contractual obligation to back you up? Pull them out. Now's the time. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk now about reputation. The other was respect. We've been talking about how to gain respect. Basically speaking, you gain respect by being the most competent in your field. Yeah. However that's judged in successful missions, right? In academics, in personal, whatever it is, this is, you're really good at it and you now have respect that you can really handle leadership. You're fabulous. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about enhancing our positive reputation. How can we do that? The first one up is act with honesty. Very, very important to act always with honesty. If you say you'll do something, this has to do with your word, really. Mm-hmm. Do it, right? Act with honesty. Honesty, it's really also, it's funds, it's money, which is the most apparent one. Also, transparency. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure. I like to be extremely transparent. I don't like people to find out stuff about me secondhand. You want to know something? Ask. And I will tell you, I like transparency. And that's one of the reasons my reputation is so good, because I always act with honesty, right? Yeah, don't hide anything. In today's day and age, it's going to get found out. Mm-hmm. People are talking about honesty and funds, that too. Don't want anybody to steal something. Mm-hmm. And to make a full disclosure and have transparency, I think that is important. Mm-hmm. The next one up to enhance our positive reputation is to act with empathy. Yeah, you wouldn't think about it, but that's really true. If you act with empathy, you are not necessarily agreeing. No, you're not necessarily agreeing. You are having understanding. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get that understanding? Oh, thank you. Quite a few people are showing up with the 5W questions. You have been listening. That's very gratifying. Yes, we're going to ask some open-ended questions so we can get some understanding of the position of our individuals, of our participants, right? And to know them more deeply so you can gauge their reactions. Yes. It's possible you might become friends too, but not at this instance. Let's get business out of the way, and then you can do as you like. I mean, you're adults, right? Right. Mm-hmm. But you need to have empathy. How are we going to get it? Yes, thank you. We're going to use the 5W questions, because empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand. Let's ask the 5W questions. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who, what, where, when, and why? Do we ask them all at the same time? Not necessarily. Do we ask them in front of everybody? Not necessarily, right? It's a judgment call. What you're trying to do is you're going to trying to find out who told you that. What did they say exactly? Where did you hear it? When did you hear it? And why did you draw that conclusion? Now you're going to say that in all those questions in a much more diplomatic and gracious manner. Remember, we are models of the civility rules. But that's what we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out the common traits and goals. We're going to find out what's going on and how we can bring this group closer together so that we can consensus build and go forward. Mm-hmm. because that is part of our fabulous reputation. Yes, this is true, actually. Some of you actually know my reputation. And this is an absolute truth. You do get a specialty as you get more experienced. Something for which you are known to be competent. That's your reputation, right? Maybe more than competent, known to be an expert in. If I have an expertise and a reputation that I uphold very carefully, I'm very big on honesty and empathy and the others that we're going to discuss. I think there's no replacement. You can't shortcut that. One of my specialties is I am brought in when a group has already failed to get to a decent resolution, something workable. And remember the idea of workable, because we may like theory as well as anyone else in the world, but we're pragmatists. We want to know how we're going to make this really work, how we're going to really get this to be useful, how we're going to work together. Because a lot of times, you know, we make a solution, but it has to be implemented, right? Yeah, we're not done when we leave the room. We're first starting. We're first starting down the path that says this is how we're going to do it, right? Yeah. So you need to find commonality. You need to find a way to work together. My specialty is to come into groups that have failed to do that, and there's actual animosity. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I'm so big on finding out in detail how the employer is going to back me if we have mutiny, if we have incivility, right? And you especially have that when you've got the prior leader as one of your now participants. He or she did not go really well, probably, because it failed. I mean, I don't like to use the word fail, but it failed. Let's say it the way it is. Because they failed to have empathy. They failed to reach out. And they would like it to prove that nobody could have done a better job. It was impossible. And if I can do a better job, now what has just been proven? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that. You have to have empathy for it. The first thing I want to know is whether or not I do have to keep this person. Because it would be best if we had a whole new group. Sometimes that's not possible, and you do have to keep this person or this group, right, intact. New sheriff in town, we're going to find out who, what, where, why, and when. Maybe who, what, where, why, and when did we fail also. What's your opinion about how come we're not getting this put together? Might be a private question to ask everybody. Might be an interview question. You have to make that as a leadership decision. But no matter what you're doing, when you've got this empathy as part of your reputation to enhance and part of the respect that these people are going to show you, no matter what you do, you want to be able to find lasting ideas or workable solutions, right? Right. We want to be able to work together. We want to be able to make this be practical and not just be theory. Yes, this is a good point, too. Zoe and others are talking about empathy not only for your participants, but for outsiders. You have to have some understanding about your opposition, for example, some understanding about the groups that are also working on the problem and could be allies. How come they're not? How can we work with them? How can we get this done so that we can really go forward in a productive manner? Let's pool our resources. We all want the same thing. Oh, you're the leader of this group, and you don't want to be usurped by me. See, that's empathy, right? How are we going to get around that? How are we going to not have you lose your leadership position, your power position that you like so much, and still get together as two individual groups working together, pool our resources, not just money resources, not just funding, because you might be evenly funded and that's not a problem. How about human resources? How about people? How about knowledge? How about get to it is? Right? Yeah. So we need to really gain a reputation and respect for being able to really get things done, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And working within the community, right? Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, this is true too. Suki and others are talking about our invisible participants. Mm-hmm. On every side, really. And we call them that at Recipe for Peace now because they kind of are. They're the people who are watching but not actually named and in the room, who your participants are kind of reporting back to. I say kind of because it might not be a formal report, as in written. It might be a just you want to show that you did good, right? And not be embarrassed. You really value this person, this organization's opinion, and you want to go forward, and you want to be with them again and to say to them, look, I won this, which is part of consensus building, right? I didn't get everything, but look what I got. See, everybody gives a little and gets a little. Mm-hmm. We're all satisfied that way. But the invisible participants have influence. I like to bring them to the table. If they do not want to be named, they don't want anybody to know, but they would like to have some input, and they swear, and you swear that they will remain anonymous, they must remain anonymous. You cannot go back on your word of that. You will have a terrible reputation, and no one will respect you or want to be in your group, right? Yes, sometimes people want to remain anonymous because it's not to their economic interest to help you. For example, they could lose their job, right? But they do think it's right. And so they're willing, but they're scared. You would be too, right? Yeah. So it's very important to understand that if you give your word on something that goes to honesty, right, then you must keep it. Mm-hmm. How else do we gain a reputation in the community? Oops, we're going to run out of time. Well, maybe we'll get to one recipe. They're not so long. How about working? How about being around? So having people know you, right? They go, oh, I know Sue. Yeah, we can really work with her. She's really good at it. She could really make something out of nothing. And, oh, this group has already not made it. Well, last time Sue managed to pull off a miracle, right? That's reputation. That's good. That's something that you want, right? Yeah. And you gain a reputation by working hard, by doing stuff in the community, maybe volunteering, right, or becoming an intern. For ourselves, for volunteers and interns, I have a kind of a rule, because we can, that you need to be able to spend some time with us. Because by the time we get you trained and straightened out and you've got some experience and you're useful, well, we don't want you to leave, right? We need you to keep helping, to keep going, to keep volunteering or interning, right? Mm-hmm. We get our young people and our really interesting folk with different ideas from colleges, and they are fairly high up. They're in the MBA programs or above, and they commit for a year, and then they stay because we're really good to work for, right? Because you want to be able to teach others, and that's teaching them something. But you want to be able to gain a benefit to your reputation, but also maybe an actual benefit for an intern and a peer, and not just have people passing through and taking time, because they do take some time if you do it right and you're really, really interested in them. Yes. And that's one of the keys, too. You have to have some time. I think it's important to have at least one paid person, if you possibly can, one paid professional, to really keep track, to really do the keep in the loop stuff, to really do the scheduling and like that. You're too busy. You're too busy doing the real thinking stuff. We need somebody to really put together all the rest so that your schedule can be done properly, right? Right. Pay them well, please. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so you gain a reputation that way. You gain a reputation by having success. And you also gain a reputation for consensus building and workable in the future. So that everybody respects you. And they go, oh, Sue, yeah, I got that. That's good. I've had people, this is kind of a brag, so I apologize. I've had people settle because they know that I've been put on the case. Yeah. They go, oh, well, we'll work it out. And they actually give up. They actually settle because they understand that we're going to do that anyway, and they might as well save the time and the money. And I think that's fabulous because that's the goal. The goal is save time and money and sweat and get this really going so that we can do something better, right? Yeah, so we can work together and really maintain contact and respect and enhance our reputations. Yes, all good, all very important, right? Yes, and in consensus building, the whole idea is when your participants talk to their invisible participants, right, the people who are interested but not actually in the room, they should be able to say, look, I was successful. I brought this back on all sides, because that's what consensus is. It's compromise, not giving up. Compromise, not winning outright, because if you win outright, you've got a loser. And we don't want to have losers. We want to have people who can really come back and say, yes, we did not lose. We are on our way to working towards something better for all of us. That's the key. That's how you gain your reputation and have it be respected, right? Your respect and your reputation in the community and in amongst your clients and your participants and your peers. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got 5 minutes. Can we make one of the recipes? Recipe for Peace now advocates that you have some food in the room. The food is really a tool. It's not so much because we're hungry. I mean, we might be hungry. It might be dinner time. But the real purpose of the food is to keep us talking to one another and to give us a break and talk about and think about something that we're not going to be mad about. Yeah, food is good. Everybody likes to eat, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, it smells good. It is good. Everybody enjoys it. Hey, let's go have some food together. Before you do that, you have to take a survey. You have to find out if anybody has any food allergies or food prohibitions, like religious prohibitions to food, right? Right. You disseminate this information to everybody. When you people bring something, which they will, you're going to ask them to bring a list with them of what is in it so that I can run my eye down the list and see if it's something that I can eat. Run my eye down the list and see if it's something that I know I can eat or I've never eaten before. That makes a difference too, right? Yes. And I think you should have at least one safe recipe. And then you can also have an adventure recipe because you've taken your survey and you know if anybody's got allergies, right? Right. Let's do the safe recipe first because it's been hanging around the longest. And I don't think we're going to make it to the seafood one, which is the adventure recipe. This is a slow cooker recipe because it takes no time. There are very few pieces of equipment that I really use and like and recommend. One of them, surprisingly enough, a rice cooker, because we bring rice a lot as a side because it goes with everything, right? And the other thing I do like is a slow cooker just because it's so easy and you can bring it and set it out, right? It's at the big bowl, basically speaking. Mm-hmm. I guess I like a slow cooker because I'm always stuck for time, right? It takes, and you could put stuff in there that doesn't cost very much money and doesn't, and you put in raw, and by the end of the day, you can bring it to the meeting, and it's food. It's fabulous. So this is a slow cooker recipe. It's chicken with vegetables. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to have enough time. Let's have some shredded cheese because we're going to make it all cheesy and gooey. It's kind of a casserole that you make in a slow cooker. So let's have a cup of shredded cheddar or whatever you like. I like cheddar the best because it's got taste without too much spice. I don't cook very spicy because I have spice as condiments on the side. A cup of shredded cheddar, a tablespoon of cornstarch because we're going to coat, 2 pounds, 3 pounds of skinless, boneless chicken breast, easy for me to get. If you cannot make pieces out of a chicken, the equivalent of this, that are skinless and boneless, and make it into chunks. I confess I'm going to use frozen vegetables. You want to use fresh vegetables, go with God. Yours will be better than mine. I'm going to have 2 packages of those mixed vegetables. Where's? Yeah. No, the mixed vegetables, the frozen ones, they're like 10-ounce packages. I'm just going to put them in. A nice onion. I like a sweet one. A cup of chicken broth. A little pepper and salt, if you'd like. 4 tablespoons of crispy onions. I just like the suckers. They come in a little container around here, or some sort of crackers or something that we're going to use as a topping. And you know about the rice cooker that I just said? Well, let's have some rice on the side because it's a casserole, and we're going to scoop it out and stick it on the rice. You can use pasta if you'd like. Yes, I know George always votes for mashed potatoes, and it's a fine and dandy vote, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a half a cup of our cup of cheddar cheese, and we're going to toss it with the cornstarch. Mm-hmm. Now let's have the chicken, the vegetables, the onion, the broth, little bit of salt and pepper, and the cheddar cornstarch mixture, and we're going to throw them in the slow cooker because slow cookers are fabulous. You just throw everything in. So we've got all the basic stuff in there, the chicken, the half the cheddar with the cornstarch, vegetables, onion, the liquid, right? Mm-hmm. Cover it, cook it on a low heat for 4, high heat for 3. Yeah, it doesn't even take very long. Mm-hmm. Remove the lid. Damn, you've got food, yeah. You remove the lid, it's delicious, it smells fabulous. You can even finish it off in the room, if you'd like. Mm-hmm. We've still got half a cup of cheddar cheese. Let's stir that in, into the hot mixture, right? To give it a little extra cheesy, ooey-gooey goodness. Oh, yummy. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to take those crispy onions or crumbled crackers or whatever you like to make kind of a crust. We're going to sprinkle it over the top, kind of pat it down, right? And we've got food. We're going to serve it right now, this instant, right out of the slow cooker pot over the rice. Yay! It's delicious. It smells good in the room. Everybody likes it. It's easy to serve because you just use a giant spoon. And it's taken you practically no effort and no time. And yes, that's a good point, too. It's very budget conscious. It takes practically no money, right? Yes. Fabulous. My friends, we will do the adventure recipe and another safe one, hopefully, next time. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Mm-hmm. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Mm-hmm. Prior shows, they're archived on that website. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Bye-bye.